The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Environment.
Hamas released footage of the emaciated 24-year-old Evitar David on Saturday, August the 2nd. Evitar was abducted from the Nova Music Festival on October the 7th and is one of 50 hostages still in Gaza, of whom 20 are still believed to be alive. Evitar's older brother, Eli David, is on the line now. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, for all of us looking at those pictures of your younger brother, emaciated as he was, in a tunnel, digging in the ground, these were deeply shocking pictures for the world, but far more so for you and your family.
Yes, it was so horrible. I couldn't watch until today. I mean, more than 2 weeks has passed, and I just cannot watch the video. It was too much for me. I only saw some images from it, and it was enough. I know I need to stay focused to save Evitar's life. I mean, he's dying. He was barely able to speak, to move, and we have to make sure he gets the medicine and food. So I have to be very, very focused, and watching the video now will break me to pieces.
Prior to August the 2nd, were you aware that your brother definitely was still alive?
I was on February 22nd, half a year ago, Hamas released a different video. He took out Evitar and his friend Guy from the tunnels, only for them to watch other hostages being released and then being sent back into the tunnels. Already there, and then they looked starved, they looked pale and thin and exhausted. And it was some kind of emotional torture, psychological warfare against us, against them. I mean, we thought it's the peak of cruelty, you know? And for this half of a year, the only thing I had is the stories of the hostages that came back. They stayed with Evitar for 500 days, and they told us everything. And there was no more place for imagination. I knew exactly what was going on, exactly that he was trapped in a narrow, filthy tunnel, the same one we saw in the video on August the 2nd. I knew that he was starved, but I didn't know that he was starved to a near-death situation, only to be part of some kind of a twisted propaganda. It is a new peak of cruelty. And we also understand that the terrorists have plenty of food and medicine and humanitarian aid the next door, humanitarian aid that which they stole from the people of Gaza. And the hostages are getting nothing. They're being intentionally starved. And we need to make sure that humanitarian aid that flows into Gaza also gets to the hostages. It's the most humanitarian cause right now.
Now, the question is, what is to be done? Because, you know, there is, you may have heard on our news headlines there that the White House is claiming that it's pressure from the White House, from America, that has led Hamas to agree to the latest ceasefire that is proposed. That it's pressure. So, you know, there is your local, your family concerns, and then there is this geopolitical carry-on that's underway.
Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, we were caught in this conflict, which we didn't want. Evitar, my younger brother, he went to celebrate at a peace festival. I mean, it's that absurd of a situation. He and his friend Guy, they just went to have fun. Their friends were murdered on October 7th. They were kidnapped. And we couldn't imagine it would take so much time because of this terror organization, because of politics and geopolitics. It's horrible. It's really horrible. And I'm right now trying to be my brother's voice. He's my younger brother, and I'll do anything. I'll put my life on the line to save his life. because that's what siblings are doing. And I'll do anything for him. And right now I'm even not talking about a ceasefire or a truce or an exchange of hostages and prisoners. I'm talking about bringing him food, make sure that we get a proof that he's alive, only for him to survive the negotiations. That's what we need right now. And I believe if the leader of the world, the leaders of the world will unite in that cause and make the right phone calls and demand that Hamas will deliver the proper treatment to the hostages, the treatment they deserve, it will happen, because Hamas, they are sensitive to their image. And I think it's time that the Western world understands that.
So that is the most immediate demand that you would make, is to whoever is talking to whoever, that they should say to Hamas, listen, there are no deals unless we are reassured that those hostages still living are cared for.
Exactly. Correct.
Now, the problem that you see it from the geopolitical point of view is that there are those within the Israeli administration who say the only way to get the hostages released is total victory in Gaza and pushing for that. And then there are others who are saying, no, the only way to get the hostages safely released is to talk. Where do you stand in that?
I believe eventually there will be some kind of an agreement. And politicians, they like to divide us, the people, on different solutions to the problem. But I believe eventually there will be an agreement. There will be a ceasefire deal. I mean, this is that's history. That's what happens usually. It's a matter of time right now. It's a matter of time. And the hostages, they just don't have that time. That's our problem. It's the most urgent thing right now, to take care of the hostages, to make sure they'll be released safely. And that's, I believe, should be the top priority. The problem is that Hamas understands that. And they are trying to use it against us in their psychological warfare. That's so inhumane, so cruel. They do it because they are a terror organization worse than ISIS, worse than Al-Qaeda, and they will try to torture us as much as they can. But we have to make sure, and that's our responsibility right now, as human beings, to make sure the hostages are being brought safely.
Now, you know,
there's
so many efforts internationally to get more aid into Gaza. That's international pressure, which may or may not bring about movement politically. But within Israel, we saw the massive protests last weekend on the streets of Tel Aviv. What impact do you think that has, where Israelis themselves are saying you must do everything to get the hostages out now?
I mean, seeing all those people coming to the streets really, really moved me. Really. I mean, we're talking about an amazing, amazing people. The people of Israel, they are people of coexistence and taking care of each other and family and faith. And that's really the beautiful face of the Israeli people. I'm not sure if it's effective or not, going out to the streets and rally and protest. I really don't know how it influences the situation. Hopefully it influences for the good. The role of the public, as I see it, the Israeli public, is to make sure it stays top agenda. The hostages must be returned home safely and soon. And
I mean,
you
have given yourself the job of keeping your younger brother's name and indeed the other hostages front and central on the news agenda. Have you noticed, though, that, you know, whereas it might have been every day on your news bulletins or on the front pages of your papers, that it has slipped down the agenda?
I believe in Israel, it's still very, very top agenda in the media. The domestic media is really, the mainstream media is really I don't know if overwhelmed is the right word, but there is, there are family members interviewing every hour in the main channels. I see how the interest worldwide drastically disappeared, dramatically. And I think it's wasn't like that the last year, but that's the cruel reality of international media and I think press overall. And we have to make sure, we have to remember that those guys, 50 hostages who were snatched from the beds and from a music festival, they are suffering by the hands of the most, the cruelest terror organization on earth. And we have to make sure that they are being brought safely home. And we have to believe that they will be brought back home safely. We have to believe that.
Do you believe that the activities of Israel in Gaza, and, you know, there's always claim and counterclaim that it's all about Hamas propaganda and so on, but there's no doubt that there are children suffering, buildings have been flattened, much of Gaza is literally uninhabitable, that it's the comparison of those kind of images with the plight of the hostages that has swung the pendulum in media?
Yeah, I agree. But we have to remember that, and it's very hard. I mean, it's tough to compete in those images of flattened neighborhoods, of course. But the hostages, they shouldn't be a part of it. I mean, if Hamas were fair, they would just release the hostages and give their own people the chance to live in dignity. So Hamas holds the hostages, the Israelis and the Gazans, on a very miserable situation. And I mean, he's, as I see it, he's the only one to blame. He doesn't care about human lives. He doesn't care that dozens of thousands of Palestinians were killed. He really doesn't care. For him, the more death is the better, because it makes him stronger. And that's the sad part. He decides eventually who lives and who dies. They steal the humanitarian aid that comes to the Gazans. They are stealing the humanitarian aid from the hostages. And we've heard from the testimonies of captivity survivors that they were even bragging on stealing the aid. They were eating on the next door loudly, enjoying themselves.
There's no doubt that aid was looted, but the resolution to that is to allow so much stuff in that it's pointless for Hamas to be looting. The people will have so much available to them that the black market will stop. That's the theory, but the mechanism for getting aid to Gaza seems to be very flawed. However, I don't want to divert from your brother, because I mean, it's his life that's on the line at the moment, as well as the lives of many other people in Gaza. Just tell us a little bit about him, because you've said in an interview with NPR that that you learned how to be a good son from him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's my younger brother. He's 24, and he's in that stage of his life when you just want to travel the world and have fun and discovering, exploring who you are. He's in that beautiful stage of his life, and right now it's being stolen from him. He's a guitar player. He's really a brilliant guitar player. He dreams about studying music production, really taking his passion, making it profession. And we used to play music together every week at my parents. He plays the guitar and I play the piano, and we sing songs together. And he has the most beautiful smile I know, and the warmest hug. And he's the kindest soul I know as well. It's also, I mean, sometimes I think it's so unfair because he's such a good soul. By the way, he, and also his friend, Guy, right there at the tunnels, they are so kind, and that makes them the perfect victims for the terrorists. We hope that because of their humanity, And because they are so sweet, sweet boys, the terrorists will act differently. And you know, but it's not like that. They are the perfect victims, and they suffer so, so much. And I just miss him, to be honest. He's my friend, and I miss him so much. And I want to see him hug my parents, and I want to see him listen to my younger sister.
Well, I'm
hopefully
sure, like you are the spokesperson for your family, I know you all have been devastated by what has happened to Evitar. But Eli, thank you very much for joining us and sharing with us the story of your family on this program.
Thank you. Take care.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.